Hi everyone, welcome to Microbe Talk, the podcast from the Microbiology Society. HPV ndika chirombo, oyambitsa matenda kasa. HPV ndika chirombo, oyambitsa matenda kasa. HPV ndika chirombo, oyambitsa matenda kasa. This month we've got a pretty special edition of the podcast, coming all the way from Malawi. Anand Jagatia takes up the story.
These amazing singers are student nurses from Malawi, and this song is about human papillomavirus, or HPV, which causes cervical cancer.
Well, my name is Geft Inokbanda. The song that has been scripted, it's talking about the human papillomavirus, which causes the cancer of the cervix. So we're singing it today, giving it to the people so that when they go to the hospital, they get the scanning and then we as the health personnel and them, we can help each other to prevent this cancer of the cervix and also how we can control it.
Malawi is a small, peaceful country in sub-Saharan Africa, but it has the highest incidence and mortality of cervical cancer in the world. Recently, the Microbiology Society funded one of our members who works on HPV to take a trip to Malawi as part of an international research collaboration with the University of Edinburgh.
I'm Dr. Ramya Bhatia. I work as a research fellow in the University of Edinburgh. I have done a PhD in looking at the interactions of human papillomavirus and how the different proteins within the virus and within the human body interact directly to cause cervical cancer.
So Ramya, tell us about your trip to Malawi.
Yeah, so let me start from the beginning. So last year, I got this opportunity as part of a large study that Edinburgh University is involved with a small mission hospital in Malawi called Nicoma CCAP Hospital. What they've been trying to do for a few years is set up a cervical screening program. One of the questions that we wanted to address was to look at the prevalence of human papillomavirus in the population in Malawi, in women in Malawi.
Right, but it wasn't all smooth sailing, was it? Because just before you left, you actually broke your hand.
Yes. So about three weeks before my trip, fell down and unfortunately broke my right hand. I'm right-handed. So that did cause a lot of problems with me trying to plan my trip to the extent that I thought I might have to cancel it. Thankfully, it was a hairline fracture and the doctors I saw were brilliant and they said I can travel. But my hand was completely fit and fine for the time I landed in Malawi to start on this work.
Well, thank you so much for soldiering on with, you know, your arm in a cast. We really appreciate it. And we armed you with an audio recorder while you're out there so you could do some reporting for us on this story. Let's start with some background. How does HPV, the human papillomavirus, actually cause cervical cancer?
So human papillomavirus, it's a very common virus. It infects pretty much everybody. So all women would have this infection of the virus once in their lifetime. It's a sexually transmitted infection. And the virus itself, when we talk about human papillomavirus, it actually has more than 200 different individual species of the virus, which in the human papilloma world we call as HPV types. Most of them don't cause any problems. Some of them cause smallish issues such as warts on the skin or genital warts, which naturally clear. So there's a very, very small proportion, so 14 types of this virus that can infect the genital area. And when they do infect, even then, there's a high likelihood that the virus is cleared by the immune system of the body. But in a proportion of people where infection isn't cleared naturally, persistence of this infection occurs. And when this infection persists, this can take decades, but it develops into cervical cancer. But there's lots of different stages before it goes on from an infection to causing cancer. This provides a very good opportunity for the medical intervention, which is cervical screening.
Right, and that's what we do here in the UK. I'm sure, you know, many of our female listeners will have, you know, had a smear test in the past as part of screening for cervical cancer to try and catch it early.
Absolutely. So cervical screening is one of the best interventions to prevent cervical cancer. And here we're incredibly lucky that we get invited every 3 years to go and have a cervical smear. A pretty simple procedure, although uncomfortable, it goes a long way in picking up these early signs of changes that can be stopped right at that point and avoid further development.
But the situation in Malawi is obviously very different, and that's kind of where your research visit comes in.
Absolutely. So while we are incredibly lucky here, in Malawi, it is incredibly sad. While the government has in place a structure for cervical screening in women, this is very expensive, and there aren't enough trained professionals who can actually carry out this cervical screening. In Malawi, I was very astonished to hear that the annual health budget of women of anybody in the country is less than $10 per annum, and these kind of screening tests cost more than that.
And while you're out there, you interviewed one of the researchers who's really been leading these efforts to improve the situation in Malawi.
So one of the people leading on this big program grant, which is a partnership between the University of Edinburgh and Nicoma Hospital, is Professor Heather Cuby, who's a clinical virologist in the University of Edinburgh. And she has spent a lot of time over the last few years in Malawi. And I was lucky that she traveled with me to Malawi during my visit. So while we were there in Malawi, I got a chance to ask her about the program and some of the amazing work that she's been up to there.
Well, the overall aim of the program was to make cervical screening and treatment, preferably on the same day, available to as many people as possible across the region served by Nkoma Hospital and its 10 surrounding health centres. It was set up in 2013. Our first visit was in May 13, but the first patients were seen in October of that year, because the period that's spent preparing for the clinics is really important.
So what sort of preparation?
It's really, really important to get buy-in, mm-hmm. As well as approval from all the relevant sources. Now that starts with the traditional authority, which is the chief of the region, and comes down through group village headmen to the village headmen to the communities themselves. But for us, it was equally important to have got approval from the Ministry of Health in Malawi, and also from healthcare staff who themselves knew very little about cervical cancer and its prevention.
That's Heather Cuby there. So, Ramya, can you tell us more about what the approach to screening for cervical cancer in Malawi actually is?
So, in the UK, when women go for their cervical smear, their smear is looked at by a highly trained professional or a cytologist who tries to identify changes within these cells. And by looking at that, we can identify whether they're at risk of development of cancer in the future. However, this involves taking the cells, putting them onto a microscope slide, staining them or colouring them in different ways, and for someone highly trained to look at them, who spends anywhere between 7 and 10 minutes per slide to look at. Now, this is highly challenging to do in a country like Malawi, where there aren't enough microscopes, there isn't enough funding to train cytologists, and there isn't enough time for people to be able to carry out a highly sophisticated screening program as such. Because one of the challenges, especially in rural Malawi, is when women come in, they come in because they have an issue, not from the perspective of a screening. And then when they're asked to return, there's a higher percentage of women who never come back to the clinic. So what is really important when implementing a program like this is where we can look at someone on the same day, see if they have any abnormality that needs to be treated, and hopefully treat them on the same day, an approach called screen and treat within a few hours. Now, in the UK, this process takes about 3 months. And the challenge is to do all of this in a day in Malawi.
That sounds like a tall order indeed. So how do you go about doing that?
So the way to deal with that is doing screening with a different perspective. So rather than someone taking a smear and sending it off to a lab, the process that was approached in Nikoma Hospital was something called visual inspection using acetic acid, or VIA.
And we've actually got a clip from an interview that you did with one of the nursing staff at Nikoma Hospital who carries out these screenings on women who come to the clinic.
Yes. So the coordinator for the cervical screening program at the moment is a lovely lady called Beatrice Kubota, who's a senior nurse in the clinic. And she made me incredibly welcome in Nikoma. I visited her house a couple of times, spent quite a bit of time with her three little kids. Yes, I've also had the opportunity to interview her on the specifics of the program and what they have gained through this experience.
What we do in VIA, we take a swab, which is soaked in a vinegar. The vinegar must be 3 to 5% concentration. And after applying the vinegar, we wait for a minute. When the minute is gone, we take a light source. We can use a headlamp or a torch to see if there's any changes on the cervix or not. And usually if there's a precancerous region, that precancerous region, it absorbs the vinegar and it looks white. It has the borders that you can easily notify that this is precancerous region and this is a normal tissue. So once a woman has got that, it's when we say she has a precancerous region and she needs treatment.
And treatment is done by removing the entire lesion, the entire affected white part that is identified through visual inspection. And this is done in two ways, by a process called cryotherapy, which requires gas. And this again in Malawi is very expensive. Or a process called thermal coagulation, where it's done by heating or burning the lesion. I know this sounds quite scary, but this is the best treatment to remove the lesion at an early stage so that it doesn't progress. Now, the way thermocoagulation is done is through a really tiny handheld device with a probe that heats up so that the nurse can gently touch the probe onto the affected parts in the cervix to treat it.
This model of screening and treatment has really been incredibly successful at Nikoma Hospital. And we've got another clip here from your chat with Beatrice about that.
During the project, we estimated that we are supposed to screen 8,000 women. Mm-hmm. But because of the way the program has been, we managed to screen over 17,000 women.
Wow, that's more than double your
target. More than doubled our target because I think... Because of good sensitization and availability of resources, and also treating women with dignity and respect. And that was also other things which women were happy with it. And for those women, more than 400 of them were VIA positive, and 80% of them treated the same day.
So it seems like VIA, this visual inspection with vinegar or acetic acid, has really been a great approach to the problem of how to screen, you know, large numbers of people in a place like rural Malawi. But it's not without its difficulties, is that right? I understand it's perhaps a bit of a dark art?
So it's, I wouldn't call it a dark art. It does take a lot of training. The rest of the world, including the UK, is moving away from getting people into lots of training for people to spend a lot of time into molecular technologies. And one of the biggest molecular advances in the cervical screening world has been to look for infection with the human papillomavirus, to see if a woman is infected with one of these 14 high-risk types that I mentioned before. And this is something Heather's been trying to do for a while in Malawi. But before implementing any such change, What we really require is to see what types of HPV is present in the population. A lot of work on this has happened for the last 20 years or so in Scotland that I have been involved with. But there is very little data in Malawi itself to see what is the proportion of these different 14 high-risk types in the population. So that's the premise of what I went there for. What I wanted to see was to see what are the types of high-risk HPVs that are causing cancer or causing abnormalities, but also are there low-risk types that are making us think that a woman might be at risk of developing cancer when she really is not.
And can you tell us about the results? What did you find when you started to look at this data that you collected?
The whole purpose of me going to Malawi is the HPV type prevalences vary quite a lot between different parts of the world. So if you look in Eastern Asia, there are some types that are most prevalent. Europe has different types. And Africa, we know, has different types. One particular type, HPV type 16, causes about 50% of cervical cancers. And this is across the world. And the prevalence of HPV type 16 is also quite high in most parts of the world. So what we found correlated with the rest of the world in that the most common HPV type in Nicoma was also HPV type 16, which is really good because the vaccine against HPV, which is another way of protecting against cervical cancer, affects type 16. So in Malawi, interestingly, what we found was that while 16 was still the most common type of the virus, a different family of the virus, HPV type 52, was the second most common. Now, this is not something that's protected by vaccine. This worried us slightly in that if there's so much of this particular type 52, is that a cause of concern? So very reassuringly for us, most of the cancers, or pretty much all of the cancers that I looked at, were still caused by HPV 16. So while this is important data to actually look at future impact of vaccine, it is very reassuring to know that the current vaccines, or what is known globally, that HPV 16 causes a huge majority of cervical cancer, still holds good in Malawi.
It sounds like Nicoma Hospital was doing really great work and this collaboration has been really fruitful, and that you had a very productive trip in Malawi. So what's next for you, Ramya, now that you're back in Edinburgh?
I would love to go back to Nicoma. I would love to go back to Malawi to do some more work. I think for the project itself, there's lots more to be done through this program. Cervical screening now is sustainable in Nicoma, and it's now being pushed on to other clinics where people are coming to get trained by the staff in Nicoma and taking this away, which is a huge step. But from an HPV perspective, we still need to understand HPV prevalence and how we can look to implement HPV screening within a setting like this. In fact, I had very interesting discussions with pathologists in the country, with other institutes within Malawi, with the hope that we will be able to get some cancer samples shipped all the way from Malawi to my lab in Edinburgh, where we can look at them in a bit more detail. So I'm looking forward to that. Discussions are ongoing there. But the data itself, which we were able to gather thanks to Microbiology Society, is being presented next month in the European Gynecology meeting in Amsterdam. And we're hoping to get this published soon as well.
Well, very best of luck with that, Ramya. And thank you so much for talking to us about your trip.
Thank you very much.
Ramya Bhatia there, talking to Anand Jagatia about her recent visit to Malawi. Now, Ramya's trip was funded by the Society as part of our International Development Fund. If you'd like to know more about it and where it might take you, please visit microbiologysociety.org/grants. So that's it for this month, but before I go, just a quick bit of news. This month's Microbe Talk is Anand and I's last. We're both moving on to Pastures New. Thank you so much for listening over the past few years. We've really enjoyed making the show for you. The podcast is going to be taking just a little break for the next couple of months, but it'll be back again soon, so stay tuned. In the meantime, you can keep up to date with the Society on our website, on our Twitter, and on Facebook. This month's show was edited and produced by Alan Jagatia. I've been Dr. Benjamin Thompson. We'll see you again soon.